This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. We've reached the final juz of the Quran, juz number 30. We'll begin by speaking a little bit about the types of chapters, surah, that are found inside this juz. And then I'm going to just select one surah to try and explain in some detail. And that surah is going to be Surah Al-Zilzal. Idha zulzilat al-ardu zilzalaha. So, in terms of the number of chapters it contains, it's the most. We have 36 chapters, yes, beginning from Surah An-Naba and ending with Surah An-Nas. One of the interesting things about these 36 chapters is that most of them are revealed in Makkah, yes, or they are Makki. And what that helps us to appreciate is the type of audience it is speaking to. Yes, the type of audience it is speaking to are those Quraysh, the polytheists who were denying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were calling him a liar, who were being stubborn, who were being aggressive, who were being obnoxious, etc., etc. So, because you now understand the audience, it can help you to kind of navigate the verses and understand them a bit deeper. Oh, this verse seems very harsh. Ah, but it is speaking to who? Those type of people. Another benefit to knowing that most of them are Makki is that sometimes if you need to share a surah of the Quran with someone who may be extremely arrogant or very stubborn or in denial, you know where to select a chapter from. Yes, we'll go straight to Juz Am and select one of them. The only two that I've come across that are clearly Madani are Surah Al-Zalzala, what I'm going to share today, and Surah Al-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Obviously, that is speaking about the victory, i.e. the conquest of Makkah, which happened in the Madani era. However, most of them are not only Makki, but many of them also are a direct reference to Yawm al-Qiyamah, the hereafter. For example, Surah An-Naba means the great news, i.e. the news of the hereafter. Surah At-Takwir, At-Takwir, this chapter of winding up, yes, وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, and that means that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will take this sun and roll it up. You know, like you have a carpet and you roll it up like that. But when you see the rolling up of the sun, that is something that will leave you dumbfounded. What is happening? Also, Surah al-Infitar, yes, the tearing apart of the sky, and Surah al-Inshiqaq, the splitting of the sky, and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, the overwhelming event, and Surah Al-Zalzala, the violent earthquake, Surah Al-Qari'ah, the catastrophe, and Surah Al-Kawthar, yes, the abundance. That is obviously different to all the others. All the others are designed to strike fear in your heart about that day. Surah Al-Kawthar is meant to reassure you and uplift you about the rewards that are on offer of them drinking from the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us the enjoyment of doing that with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are some of the chapters in the Juz Am, and I'm going to now share with you one chapter, Surah Al-Zanzara. Surah Al-Zanzara is the 99th chapter of the Quran. And some of the scholars say that this chapter, it is part of a group, 99, 100, 101, 103. So who can tell me what's the next surah after Surah Zanzara? Al-Adiyat. Yes. And then after Adiyat comes? At-Takathur.
No.
No, At-Takathur. Is it Al-Qariya? And after Al-Qariya comes? You're right. At-Takathur. So, Zanzila. And Zanzila is speaking about the Day of Judgment. And then you have Al-Adiyat. Al-Adiyat, Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. That this person has fierce love of wealth. Not like you say somebody who's crazy about money or crazy about making money. So Al-Adiyat is all about greed. Then Al-Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah speaks about Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Allah says, يَوْمَ تَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. On that day, mankind will be scattered like moths. No moths? That when they flock to the fire, Allah says mankind will be like that. And then the last chapter is Surah Al-Qari'ah, Surah Al-Takathur rather, which is Al-Hakum Al-Takathur. People are so obsessed with getting more and more, which is distracting them. So look at the pattern here. Zalzala, Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Adiyat, greed. Qari'ah, Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Al-Takathur, greed. There's a link. And some of the scholars say the link is a person who is very greedy and very stingy. What he needs is to learn more about the Day of Judgment. When a person thinks more about the meeting with Allah, the great events that will happen on that day and the frightening nature of them, it will help him deal with his sense of greed. Yes? Now, in terms of a logical flow of this surah, there are three parts to the surah. In the beginning, Allah will tell us about the earth, that it will quake in the most violent way. And it will begin to unleash some of its contents. We'll speak about that. And then the second part, it will begin to testify against humanity about the good they did and also the evil that they perpetrated as well. And the last part is about human beings then seeing the consequences of their deed. Yeah. So let us begin with the first verse. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالًا. Allah says, when the earth is shaken with its ultimate quaking. When is this going to happen? Scholars say this is going to happen after the second blowing of the trumpet. Yes, Israfil will blow the first trumpet, and many scholars say all of humanity will swoon, meaning fall unconscious, those who are left alive. And then the second blowing of the trumpet will be when resurrection begins. And when people are coming out of their graves, one of the things they will see is إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَلًا. That the earth is زَلْزَلًا. Now, زَلْزَلًا literally means to slip up. Yes? They say زَلْزَلَةُ الْإِبَلِ. That when the rider beats the camel so hard, that is about to trip over, that is zalzal to the camel. But also, zalzal can mean to fall out of its place. So Ibn Ashur said, what it means is that the earth will quake so violently that people will think it is about to fall out of its orbit. And Imam Sa'adi said that all the trees, the mountains and the building, they will tumble down like Lego. Can you imagine seeing that? إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالًا. Now the last word, زِلْزَالًا, in Arabic they call this مَفْعُول مُطْرَق. And the meaning of it is supposed to give a climatic note to the ending of the verse, as if to say, when the earth will quake with an ultimate quaking. But in Arabic, the way you would say that is, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالًا. This is مَفْعُول مُطْرَق. زِلْزَالًا, it ends with a nasb. However, Allah says, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. So the difference in translation would be normal translation and when the earth will quake in an ultimate way versus when the earth will quake with its ultimate quake. Do you see the difference? And the scholars, what they say that refers to is that it is as if Allah is saying, you know, this earth, it was always meant to quake in that violent way. It was His destiny. Allah had decreed that one day will come that the earth will quake in the way that was always meant to quake. Yes? إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Now, the next verse says, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And when the earth will throw out all of its content. First of all, the content here is referred to as athqal. And athqal comes from the root word thiqal. Thiqal can mean something that is heavy. Thaqeel, this is heavy. Or something that is very extreme and severe. Like Allah will call Yawm al-Qiyamah, Yawm al-Thaqeela. Yes, a day that is heavy. Not literally heavy, but heavy in terms of psychologically. That it will be something difficult to bear for people. So what does it mean that the earth will cast out its loads? Yes. Some of the scholars say it means that, you know, all the dead buried inside the earth, it will begin to release them. They will come out of it. And also, Ibn Abbas said, the treasures that are lost in this world, that when the second trumpet is blown, all of them start to emerge out of it. It just taking them out. But the other meaning is that it won't just let them out, but it will, when it does that, it is very severe and extreme. And people will become shocked at how the earth is behaving and reacting. One of the other Arabic meanings of the word thiqal, the Arabs will say, athqalatil mar'atu. That the woman who's pregnant, athqala, means when she's about to give birth and the baby is about to be delivered. That is a moment of athqala, from the same root word. So it is as if the earth, it couldn't bear to hold the contents any longer. It wanted to release them and give them out. Yes? And you think about these things, you're like, this is just unbelievable. Is this really going to happen? And then Allah says, وَقَالَ إِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And humanity will say, what is the matter with it? What is wrong with it? And the scholars say this can refer to the disbelievers, that they will look in shock and horror that what is going on with the earth, and they will see through it the fate that they are going to meet. That they realize that, man, this is the thing that we used to be told about by those religious guys. That when we die, there's a life to come, and we were like, no, no, it's just this life. It's all about enjoying this life. And they were right. This is exactly what we were told, but we used to deny it. But others say, no, it can include the believers. They will all say, وَقَالْ إِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. What is the matter with this earth? Because they, even though they know they are safe, they will still be frightened with what they would see. And they will see through it the awe and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is Allah's doing. Allah is the one who is doing this. Now the thing is, Yawm al-Qiyamah is described in many places in the Quran. And I want to share with you what Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj.
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ.
O mankind, fear your master. Indeed, the quaking of the hour is extremely severe.
يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ.
The day in which you will see that every mother that is clinging onto a child will drop its child. And every woman that was carrying a baby will miscarriage. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. You will see people drunk. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But they are not drunk The problem is that the day is so severe that people will behave as though they are drunk. Yes? And in another place, Allah says, وَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمًا يَجْعَلُ الْبِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. How will you protect yourself if you disbelieve against a day in which the hair on the head of a baby will turn grey? Yes? These are the frightening scenes that Allah tells us about on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is what people will say. وَقَالْ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. What is the matter with it? And then it becomes even scarier. Because Allah then says, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, it will tell all. Now here the Prophet ﷺ, he said to his companions, after reciting this verse, that on that day it will tell all. أَتَدَرُونَ مَا أَخْبَارُهَا. Do you know what information it will release on that day? And they said, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّ أَخْبَارَهَا أَن تَشْهَدَ عَلَى كُلِّ عَبْدٍ وَأَمَةٍ بِمَا عَمِنَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا. He said, its news that it will give is that it will bear testimony against every slave, male and female, about what it did on the face of this earth. أَن تَقُولَ, and it will say, عَمِنَ كَذَا وَكَذَا يَوْمَ كَذَا كَذَا فَهَذِي أَخْبَارُهَا. And it will say, this one, it did this and this on this day. And this one, it did this and this on that day. And subhanAllah, that is why Ibn Mas'ud would say, look at this quote. He said that the way of the world used to work will end and the way of the hereafter world will then begin. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ would also say, تَحَفَّظُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّهَا أُمُّكُمْ. Guard yourself against the earth, for it is the thing you will return to. وَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ عَامِلٌ عَلَيْهَا خَيْرًا أَوْ شَرًّا إِلَّا وَهِيَ مُخْبِرًا. Because, he said, that there is no one who does any good or evil on this earth except that it will testify against this person. Think about that, brothers and sisters. What we are learning is that when you're all alone in your room and you are doing things you know you shouldn't be, the ground that you are standing on is observing you. Not only is it observing you, it is recording what you are doing. And then when the day comes, it will speak to Allah and say, do you know what he did on this day? Do you know what she did on this day? These are things, subhanAllah, for us to think about. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَ. The scholars say that the earth will speak about the good and the bad. The good in terms of massacres, genocides, murders, cheating, defrauding, all of these things. It will begin to speak about them. But also about the good that was done in this world, the charity that was given, knowledge that was taught, and also worship that was performed on this earth. And this is why some of the scholars, they say that if you're ever traveling somewhere and you come across a place where you think no one has ever prayed, stop and offer salah. Because if you pray there, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, the earth will say, Allah, he prayed here. In a place that nobody else prayed. I remember in Egypt, subhanAllah, one of my teachers said, he was traveling somewhere through a desert, and him and his teacher, they looked at each other when they went through a very remote place. And one said to the other, do you know what I'm thinking? He said, I think that I am thinking the same thing you are thinking. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارُ. The same verse they were thinking about it. The day in which the earth will testify. They said, let us get out of the car. And they both offered salam. Allahu Akbar. Yes. And then my teacher said, maybe jinn prayed behind us as well. We don't know. Allahu A'lam. Tayyib. Okay. The next verse Allah says, بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهُ. Because your Lord has inspired it. What does this mean? It means that the earth is talking about things that have happened in its history which go back how many thousands of years. And it is detailing them one by one. And people are like, why are you telling Allah about us? And then Allah says, بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَ. Because Allah, its master, is telling it. Allah is inspiring it. It's not doing it on its own account. It doesn't have power to do it. Allah is the one giving it its power to do that. Now the interesting thing Arabic here is that usually when the word أَوْحَى is used in the Quran, it is followed by ila. For example, Allah will say, wa awha ila ummi Musa, that we inspired the mother of Moses, using the word ila. But here Allah says, بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى إِلَى. No. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. The lam is used, not ila. And the scholars, they say in Arabic, that creates what they call tadmeen, where they say that the verb and the preposition, they are combined together. It's very complicated. But the effect of that is to say that this thing happens immediately. That Allah, no sooner does Allah inspire it, talk about this person, then it does and it says it straight away. And also what that shows is that not only does it immediately, but it is doing it upon the request of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how should that affect us? You see, think about the worst earthquake that has ever happened on this earth. So I was researching, I was thinking to myself, what is the worst earthquake ever happened in history? So I came across some information, I'm going to share it with you. They say that the most powerful earthquake in recorded history is Valdivia, which is in Chile, also known as the Great Chilean Earthquake. Now, do you know how devastating it was? They said it measured 9.6 on the Richter scale. 9.6, yes. And it was so devastating that it caused multiple tsunamis to occur, which reached from Chile all the way to Japan. That is more than 500 miles away, and Hawaii. And the waves that it created rose up to more than 25 meters high. This is an earthquake in our lifetime. Allah is saying that the earthquake of Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to outdo anything that has ever happened before. Yes? Now the thing is, experiencing an earthquake is something truly shocking. Experiencing just a tremor can scare you, right? Allah is saying that that's not only the worst earthquake people are going to experience, but when are they going to experience it? After waking up from being dead. Imagine you were asleep and then you woke up to an earthquake. You've lost your bearings, you're completely disorientated, and now the ground is shaking beneath you. But that sleep in the grave is going to be 100,000 years long, and you're going to awake and then feel the earth quaking in a way that you think is going to spin out of its orbit. All of these things, subhanAllah, they boggle the mind. But Allah wants us to think about them. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Some of the scholars, they say, Allah wanted to tell us that the earth is being inspired by Him, because when you're thinking about the earth quaking, you're thinking about its power. Yes? And you're scared of the earth. But Allah is saying, don't be scared of the earth, be scared of me. I'm the one making it do that. I'm the one making it quake. I'm the one informing it about your deeds. So through the earthquake, we learn about not only the power of the earth, but rather the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. Then Allah says, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The day people will emerge segregated to see the results of their actions. لا إله إلا الله. Allah is saying that the earthquake and your resurrection is not purposeless. It is for a reckoning. And that is what Allah says, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ. The day in which people, صَدَرَ. صَدَرَ مِنَ الْمَكَانِ, Arabs will say, is when a man leaves a building and then walks away from it. And that is interesting, because not only are we being told that people will come out of the graves, but also that it will begin to walk away from them. To where? To the place in which they will be questioned by Allah Jalla wa'ala. So by telling us that they will yasdur, it is telling us that people will have to go forward and they will not be able to go back. The life of this world has come to an end. You can't come back here ever again, not even for a moment to offer one sajda. This world has finished. Now the hereafter has begun. There is no going back. And there will be ashtat. Ashtat means in groups, and groups that are scattered about. The scholars, they explain that what this means, that people, even though they were buried in the same graveyard together, when they are resurrected, they will begin to move and coalesce into groups depending on their nature and the religion they used to follow. So a person that followed a particular false religion, they will find themselves with everyone else from humanity that also followed that false religion. Also, scholars say that people that committed similar crimes, like murderers, from all across the world, from all different times, they will begin to gather together. And who will be amongst them? Qabil, the man who committed the first murder. Different criminals with different crimes, they will come together. And they will all realize that they are going to be لِيُرَوْ أَعْمَالَهُ, be made to see their deeds. That doesn't mean that they will relive what they did. It means they are going to see the consequence of that deed. What does Allah have in store for you for your crime? That is what it means. Yes. But also, it means that good people will come together. People, for example, that used to worship Allah and Allah alone, they will all come together from different times, different places. What does that mean? It means that us living in the 21st century, we will get to see Abu Bakr and Umar. We will get to see Nuh. We will get to see our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we will be in our own shat, which means our own group. And amongst us, people will come together depending on their deeds. Some people, for example, were very kind-hearted towards others. They never used to hold grudges. They used to forgive. Who will be amongst them? Tell me a man who forgave people who were close to him, even though they tried to kill him. Yusuf alayhi salam. Imagine, you will be in the company of Yusuf if you were a person who used to forgive others for their wrongs that they did against you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best company on that day. Allahumma ameen. And this is why the surah then ends, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Translation. So whoever does a mithqal, I'm not going to translate that just yet, whoever does a mithqal of a dharra will see it in terms of good as well as in terms of evil. Now, what does the word mithqal mean? Very important to understand this. Mithqal means the weight of something. If I said to you, this phone is the mithqal of a feather, it means it weighs as much as a feather. So Allah says, whoever does the weight of a dharra worth of good will see it. Now, dharra, how is it often translated? Whoever does that atom, yes, an atom. But in Arabic, dharra doesn't mean atom. Dharra means a speck. The speck that you see in a beam of light. Have you ever sat near a window where the sun is shining through? And there's a beam of light and you can see all these specks flying about. One of them is a dharra. Allah is saying that, you know, even if you did that much, I will bring it and I will place it on a scale, I will weigh it, and you will get the reward from it. Subhanallah. The other thing about weighing is that Allah never said, we are going to count your deeds. He said, we are going to weigh them. You see, a person may not have performed a lot of salah in their life. He may not have fasted much of Ramadan, for whatever reason. However, when he did pray, he prayed with all his heart. When he did fast, he fasted with all of his heart. When he did certain good deeds, he struggled to do them. Allah is saying that we will not just count your deeds, we will weigh them, because each deed has a quality. Sometimes you pray and your mind is wandered, but then you pray again and your heart is present. So Allah is saying that we will weigh your deeds, meaning we will see what was the substance behind it. What was the quality behind it? It's not just the quantity, it is the quality. And this is why our Prophet ﷺ would say, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that deeds, they are judged based on what? Intention. And this is very inspiring, because subhanAllah, sometimes in life you don't do much, but the good you do, you struggle to do it more than others. Allah is saying, we know that. And we will place it on the scale, we will weigh it. This reminds me about the story of that lady from Bani Israel. You all know the story. That she was an indecent lady. But one day she did a good deed. What was that good deed? She saw a dog panting out of thirst, and she took off her leather sock, filled it with water, and quenched the thirst of this dog. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said, because of that, Allah forgave all of her sins. So the scholars say, how is it that she did one deed and all of the sins were wiped out? They said, because in her heart, she was thinking about Allah and Allah alone. The quality of the deed weighed heavily. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you based on. Yes, the sacrifice, the quality behind it. And subhanAllah, another thing about our intentions being the priority on judgment day is that people don't know your intentions. People may not see your intentions. People may doubt your intentions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows your intention. And if nobody saw your good deed, you will still get the reward for it. And this is very important. If I, for example, mention to you the great imams, who are the four great imams? Remind me. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. You all know them. Can you tell me the names of one of their mothers? Can you? We'll struggle to name one of their mother's names. True or not? The books of Bayhaqi are full of details about these great imams. No doubt it, they were. But tell me something. What about the struggle of their mothers? Do you think Imam Ahmad became who he was without the love, care, and struggle of his mother? No. In fact, brothers and sisters, that though the mothers of these scholars may be given a higher place in Jannah, you know why? Because they created and nurtured those children that became the leaders of this ummah. But no one knows about them. Allah knows about them. And every speck of good they did, Allah will bring it and weigh it. And He will weigh not only what you did, but its effect. You raised Imam Abu Hanifa. 75% of the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam follow his fiqh. Can you imagine 75% of this ummah? From his time, maybe until Yawm Al-Qiyamah, is worshipping Allah based on his knowledge. He is getting the reward of all of those people. But you know who is also getting that reward? His mother. His mother is getting that reward. Because she is the one who taught him, who sent him to study. Yes, they say about Imam Malik, that when he was a young boy, 5 years old, some say, she used to bring him to the masjid of the Prophet and tell him, sit and listen to them. I don't want you to learn the knowledge. I want you to learn the behavior, the character. Look at the sheikh, how he sits, how he speaks, how he addresses. This is how I want you to be. And Imam Malik, they said he used to get up and run around. His mother used to bring a stick with him, sit back down again. Now listen to this. Later on, Imam Malik would become the great Imam of Medina, the city of the Prophet. And do you know when he used to teach hadith, two people used to sit beside him, each of them holding a whip in their hand. If any student fell out of line, anyone spoke, they would get whipped. Wow. SubhanAllah. Safeguarding issues there, no? So there's a story about a man who comes from far away to study with Imam Malik. And he doesn't know anything about the formalities of studying with Imam Malik. So what happens is he comes in late to the dars. He comes in the masjid, he sees, and he asks people, where is Imam Malik? They say, he's over there. Sit. So he sits down and he says, by the way, who is Imam Malik? He said, it is him over there. As soon as they say that, the student stands up on the right-hand side of Imam Malik. He says, come here. Lashes him. 17 times. How dare you speak in the gathering of Imam Malik? Afterwards, he says to himself, what happened? I got lashed 17 times when I came from far away to study Imam Malik. So he said, I must complain to Imam Malik. That night he finds Imam Malik in the masjid. He says, yeah, Imam, my father sent me from this village to learn from you. And all I got was 17 whips on my back. He said, no problem. I will give you 17 hadith in his place. Allahu Akbar. Yes. So who created that personality? It was his mother. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. And Allah is saying, none of that has been lost in the scale of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yes? But also Allah then tells us, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does a speck of evil, Allah will bring it and wait, and people will have to answer for that. SubhanAllah. May Allah forgive us. When you think about that, you think to yourself, I have done so many bad things I have forgotten about. Some things I've done, I didn't realize they were wrong. And now I'm being told that even a speck of them I'm going to answer for. Yes, if you don't make tawbah today. Yes, you will have to ask for them unless you ask Allah to forgive you now. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ used to say, "Oh Allah, forgive me for my sins, the ones that I did openly and privately, knowingly and unknowingly." The things that you have forgotten about, you need to ask Allah to forgive you for those things as well. May Allah forgive us for the things we have done openly and in secret, and the things that we have done knowingly and that we have done unknowingly. Allahumma ameen. Some of the scholars, they also say, you know, when you memorize a surah, you sometimes get confused. Is it فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا وَخَيْرًا? They say, look, Allah brought the good first, because Allah wanted to give you hope. I'm going to reward you for your good first, and then I'm going to look at your evil as well. Yes, so now you will never forget. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا. Good comes first, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that day of gathering easy for us. And may you make the day that we meet Allah the best day of our lives. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khayran. Barakallahu feekum.